to Armchair Experts. We're the team from Longreach offering unqualified opinions, interesting takes and passionate views on all things sport. Make sure you get out there and follow us on social media. On Twitter, it's at ArmchairEX, and the ever-popular, ever-growing Facebook page up to almost quadruple figures, which is exciting. Most of that is Watsy. Watsy's friends. Watsy, how are you, champion?
Very well, Parker. Good to be here for episode 5 of the 2019 season.
It is exciting. And Lloydie, how are you?
You're keeping count.
That's what I was doing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I am sensational, mate. Looks like a bit of rain coming here in Longreach, which is great.
As long as it holds off.
Yeah, for the races on the weekend. Now, as a failed basketballer myself, today's armchair interview is with an athlete that I'm extremely envious of. Growing up in Tamworth, he would complete high school in Sydney before heading to Metro State University, helping the team to 4 consecutive Final Four tournaments and being named to the All-Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference first team twice. He returned to Australia and played for the Townsville Crocodiles and won the Rookie of the Year award in his first season. His NBL career would continue with a stop at Illawarra before moving to the Perth Wildcats. Not only would he become just the 12th Perth player to be named in the All-NBL first team, he would also win a championship. In his young career, he's already represented his country, being named to the Australian national team at the 2017 FIBA Asia Cup, and he also won gold with Australia at the Commonwealth Games. Our guest today is NBL champion Nick Kay. Nick, how are you, mate?
Yeah, really good, mate. Thanks for having me.
No worries, mate. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate you taking the time with us, especially since it's been less than a week from winning a championship. How have the celebrations been going?
They've been pretty good, mate. A lot of time just hanging out with the guys and just trying to enjoy every moment of it. It's a lot of work went into this season and a lot of sacrifices made. So to be able to just enjoy this week with the guys and celebrate with them and really appreciate just all the work that went into it. It's been really good.
Nick, it's Lloydie, mate. I was a cricketer growing up and we had their end-of-season dues, and then I got into AFL and that was a whole new perspective. A lot of dressing up in women's clothing, I found. So what do basketballers do for end-of-season sort of celebrations that you can tell us?
we kept it pretty low-key. We've just been at a lot of people's houses and trying to stay out of the public eye with a lot of it. You want to enjoy, but you also want to be respectful. It is a family game and stuff, so I'm trying to stay out of that a lot. But saying that, yesterday I got to go out on the Paradise, which is a nice yacht with the guys, and we all dressed up as Greg Hyatt to celebrate his retirement and his career as the Wildcat. So that was a good way to send him off at all.
I think there's a job for you at the NRL going around the other clubs telling him how to celebrate.
Just trying to keep it well done. Everything and stuff, but it's good that it's a great way to celebrate with the guys and really enjoy a season one of that.
100%. So Nick, also just before we get into the interview, with the season finished, what does an off season look like for you? I mean, if any of us here had an off season, we'd come back about 40 kilos overweight, but what does it look like? Do you get much downtime in the off season?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing this off-season yet, so there's a few opportunities to play in different places and stuff, so a lot of people take that route, try to keep fit through playing in different leagues and whatnot. Otherwise, Perth do a great job of keeping guys around, doing promos and having the coaches available to work out. So, for example, get back in probably next week or the week after in the gym, shooting in the morning, and try to get most of the stuff done by 10 a.m. and then you've got the rest of the day to relax and do whatever. So they do a good job of you keeping you going, but also keeping you fresh at the same time.
Mate, growing up in Tamworth, I used to frequent Tamworth boys in the summer holidays playing cricket. Very sporting town. Is that where you developed your love for basketball?
Oh, without a doubt, mate. I was pretty fortunate the way it all worked out. I got into basketball with a group of friends and we all fell in love with the game and the aspect of competing. So we went to the same school, we played growing up, and we did all reps together. So that was a big part of the reason I got into it and a big part of why I continued to play. And thankfully, when you got a good group, you do a lot of things together, and that love just stayed there through it.
And when you're born in Tamworth, they give you a Slim Dusty album? Are you a country music close. Fan?
Pretty close, mate.
It's people in Longreach making fun of you, mate. And I've hosted a country music show too, so.
The country music festival is one of those things that you always are a big part of it growing up, and everyone knows Tamworth to the country music festival, so I like country music. It doesn't bother me too much at all. I'll roll with it.
So how did Australian cricket lose you, mate? Why don't you open the bowling for us in the Ashes? 206 centimetres.
Mate, if you saw me play back in time...
Like me playing basketball, probably.
I definitely didn't get any cricket genes, and I'm sure if you talk to mum or dad, they'd have a few stories for you about me embarrassing myself, so I'm glad that didn't keep going.
Podcast number 6.
It's okay, mate. I think Lordy's still embarrassing you now when he goes on the cricket pitch. Hey, Nick, when I grew up in the 90s and I was a massive basketball fan, and I modelled my game, and lots of people said I was very similar to Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, and Scottie Pippen was the one that people mostly said resembled my game.
Because you got a tan.
But, mate, I wanted to know, who were your heroes growing up? Obviously, basketball's a pretty popular sport in Australia, so who did you look up to?
Mate, it's such an interesting one. I probably didn't watch too much basketball when I was young. I think I just enjoyed playing and that aspect of it. And coming from the country, obviously footy and stuff was a big part of life growing up, and so I'd watched a lot of that. But it probably wasn't until mid-high school that I even got into the NBA and NBL and that. So when that started, I was a big fan of Dirk Nowitzki, who's one of the all-time great stars. And just loved his game, the way he went about it, and just him and Carmelo Anthony, but he's done now, so guys like that you try to look up to and, yeah, base your game around and whatnot.
And growing up, that would have been in NBL, it's probably its peak in those days. Shane Heal and Gandra Gaze, Nathan Croswell, Leroy Loggins.
You're going back a bit there, aren't you? He's not that old.
Didn't get to see all those guys playing and whatnot, but I just didn't get into the NBL too much too early. I think just the way it was, just with Oddstar and whatnot back then and being able to watch games, just wasn't able to. But once I started getting into it a bit more and that, I loved watching it, and now it's a huge part of my life and the family's life. It's amazing how many more people are watching the NBL these days. It's great to see.
Yeah, no, 100%. And Nick, I've only known you for a short time, but you've already become my personal hero, because I always wanted to be a professional basketball player growing up, and just due to just general lack of talent, ability, and any type of coordination, I was told that it would never happen. But I just wanted to know, when did a professional playing career for you actually become a reality? Was it in high school? Was it later on?
Man, I wish it was back in high school. I think I think it probably wasn't until maybe junior year of college that I even thought that might have been an opportunity. I was pretty late getting picked up to go to college, and I was probably lucky that I knew a coach over there, and it got in through that way. So, it probably wasn't until junior year that I thought that might be a reality, but honestly, I think that's part of the reason you work so hard and stuff, because you want it to be an opportunity, and you work harder just so that can come about.
So you went to Metro State University after school. What was the college experience like? We see in all the sport.
I'm talking sport.
And I know personal experience. A good friend went to tennis and was involved with a lot of basketballs, and it's a great mateship, isn't it? The college. Which institution?
Yeah, obviously there's different schools and stuff over there, and obviously they do it differently and that, so not all schools are like American Pie and whatnot.
Don't ruin it for me, mate. Don't ruin it.
There's definitely some schools over there that are like that, so saying that, I think the mateship and stuff you get over there and the guys you meet and stuff is a huge factor. I still keep in contact with a lot of them, and last year went back for, I missed the guy's wedding, but I got there a couple of weeks early just to wish him a congratulations and stuff, because that's the relationships and stuff you build over there, which is a huge part of it.
And mate, during your time at college, you guys made the final four consecutive times, and you would have gone up against some pretty talented competition. Is there anyone that stands out to you that maybe has gone on to, you know, the NBA or things like that from the college experience?
Yeah, probably the big one that stands out is a guy called Derek White.
Yep.
He was a year younger than me at college, but he's now playing with the San Antonio Spurs. I think he's their starting point guard right now. So
yeah.
He was just an unbelievable athlete. He pretty late bloomer with it all. I don't think he got too many opportunities when he was a freshman, and then next thing you know, he came back and he's scoring 20 a game, and he was a nightmare to guard. So he's just one of those guys that he's going to have an awesome NBA career, and it was a privilege to play against him because he made everyone better than it did.
And after college, like I just read Wikipedia, you're limited to so much, but 2015 you entered the NBA draft and went undrafted. Was the goal to join NBA post-college, or was that just something you just wanted to just try your hand at?
No, I think a lot of that stuff is when you finish college, you're eligible for the draft.
Okay.
I didn't do too much of that stuff. When I finished college, I had a desire to come back to Australia. I really enjoyed the time in the US, but I was ready to get home and spend a bit of time with fam and try to make a career out of the NBL at first. So that was the path I chose, and I'm really glad I did, because I found myself at Townsville and under Sean Dennis, who was an unbelievable coach and really helped us learn what it was to be a professional athlete, because it's very different to the college life.
Now, Nick, just a bit of insight into us. We've got a Saturday morning sports show, and I'm in my rookie season with that. I've probably had more slip-ups than a slide factory, but in your NBL rookie year, you were bloody impressive. You won Rookie of the Year. What do you remember from that first year? Because obviously, you know, your first step after college into a like professional, not that college isn't professional, but a, you know, a professional gig in Australia. What do you remember?
I remember the first day I got there. I remember how Brian Conklin, the MVP the year before, he rocked up one of the first days I was there, and he did a move on me, and I went flying through the court, and he big boyed me with it, and I was just like, wow, this is what I'm going to have to get to if I want to compete at this level. And the first few games, like, people remember the Rookie of the Year stuff, I probably only played 4 or 5 minutes the first few games.
Yeah, wow.
And
very impressive.
Like, this is going to be a tough year. I've got to find a way to get into these minutes and whatnot, and it's not all going to come to you. So thankfully, started getting a few more minutes as it went on, and I got pretty lucky with that stuff. So there's always highlights and stuff, but it's those working to get to that spot that was probably the big thing for me that year.
And Nick, like, we talk a lot about, you know, athletes that didn't make it. I'm sure there'd be players that you've played with that probably had as much, if not more, talent that haven't gone on. Do you see a lot of, like, mates that you grew up playing with that just didn't make it for whatever reason?
Yeah, absolutely. Often it's very, you put the work in, but there's a lot of luck in being in the right situations with it all, with it panning out. So there's a lot of guys out there with a lot of talent. It's just finding something that you're good at and something that you can make a career out of. I think Greg Hyde is a perfect example. A lot of people say he's not the most talented guy, but he's made a 8 to 10 year career out of just being a workhorse on the corner and getting offensive rebounds. So you only have to be good at a few things, but you just got to be great at doing them.
Yeah. Mate, it didn't take you long until you were noticed on the national level and selected for the Boomers in 2017. Mate, first of all, was this selection a surprise, and how did you get the call up?
Mate, it was a huge surprise. I remember getting the first email that got sent to pretty much every NBL player out there, and I was trying to find the mum saying, like, I'm even in the group, like, this is crazy, I'm so excited. And then actually getting to go to the camp and compete against these guys, it just felt like it was, you're up against the best players in Australia, and you learn so much from doing it. So then to go in the room with the coaches and have that meeting, whether you got in or not, your heart's pounding through your chest and you're just hoping for the best news. So once I got told, I mean, the smile couldn't leave my face, so I was one happy guy.
And Nick, when you we've obviously never made anything close to an Australian side, you must get a pretty fair kit. I'm imagining you've got a lot of, they give you jerseys, shoes, all that sort of stuff's provided.
Yeah, it's all that gear is amazing. It's awesome just to be involved in the group and then to get all the extra stuff with it. It's just, I mean, mum's house now is full of jerseys and whatnot. It's
memorabilia.
Got a little wall of stuff going on there, and it's great that you not only get it for yourself, but you can enjoy it with your family as well.
Yeah, 100%. Now, with your time at the Boomers, I guess you featured in what is one of sport's probably scariest moments during the game against the Philippines, where a fight broke out. Mate, how crazy was that?
Mate, that's one of the craziest experiences I've been in, that's for sure. Emotions are flying, and I think the way the guys handled that situation was unbelievable, because, I mean, I remember being there and, you know, if you leave that bench and stuff, like, you got to be going out with the right attitude and whatnot, and they held everyone back and made sure no one did that stuff. But you see your mates in a tangle and you just want to help them. So obviously, it was a rough couple of days there. We're trying to get your head around what happened, and thankfully no one was injured with it.
You certainly put basketball under the spotlight for all the wrong reasons there for a bit, but got a lot of media exposure, Parker.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, one thing I'll say, Nick, and one thing to be proud of is what you just said about how the Australians conducted themselves. Like, I watched the footage just this afternoon, but all the Australians on the bench were all held back, whereas the Philippine bench just cleared, and it was just insane that no one, like you said, Nick, it was just luckily that no one was seriously hurt from it.
Yeah, without a doubt, especially when you're getting fans and coaches involved and whatnot. But saying that, it was a huge thing for us. At the end of the day, we won the game because of that. If we had all gone out there, then no players would have been left, and that could have affected World Cup rankings and whatnot. Mm. So sometimes seeing the bigger picture with it, and as shit as it is, it's great to see those guys and doing well. And the talking to them after, they were very supportive of what occurred and whatnot. So it was a tough thing, but glad we got through it all.
In your short time in the national arena, it's been a very successful one, winning gold at the 2018 Commonwealth Games. Mate, was the mood going into the camp, into the Comm Games, a confident one? And
when did you know that you could get gold? Like, did you know early on that you were, like, Australia's always a fair chance at Commonwealth Games, but you must have been pretty confident.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely confidence in the group. We just played our window probably a month beforehand and got a couple of good wins. Saying that, we were down a couple of guys that we were used to, which was going to make it an interesting. Guys like Mitch Creech, who had been our leading scorer, wasn't going to play, so it was about finding who was going to step up and who was going to be there in the other moment. So we were confident, but they were great. There were some good teams there. New Zealand were awesome. They almost got to beat us in the first round. And then Canada ended up getting them in the semi-final. So it was some tough games. You got a lot of pressure, and when you want to win in front of your home crowd. So I think the guys stepped up really well for that, and we're glad we got the win and the gold.
Yeah, 100%. Mate, you signed with the Perth Wildcats last year. And, I mean, Perth, when you think of the NBL, you think of the Perth Wildcats, one of the most popular and well-supported teams in the competition. What factors kind of came into the decision-making process for you to sign with Perth?
Big thing was culture at the club.
Yep.
Obviously, you see a lot of guys come to Perth and not many leave. So you know they're doing the right thing. They treat the guys well and stuff. And that was a huge factor in coming over here. Another thing, some coaching staff, having guys like Trev and Matt Nielsen, one of the best four-man Australian basketball. You can only learn from those guys and get better. So I definitely don't think I'm at the peak of my career. I think I can still get a lot better, and having guys like that around are going to help you do that.
I haven't been a big fan of basketball, but I do follow sort of sports franchises and that, and I always notice Perth like a really well run compared to some of the others. Have a lot of drama and your coaches going in and out. You don't hear much about Perth because just seems to run so well.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of crazy. Obviously, money's a huge factor in organisations, and when you have so many members like we do at Perth, it makes life a lot easier. So obviously I've been in different situations with it throughout the time, and such as Townsville, which ended up folding, so I understand the difference between clubs and what they're up against. But just that comfort of being in Perth and having that support and network around is a huge factor, and allows you just to focus on playing basketball and getting better.
Yep. This is going to be a bit off topic, Nick, but one of the big questions in the NRL at the moment is relocation, and one of the big talking points is whether a rugby league side should go to Perth. And I see the support the Wildcats get, and obviously the support for AFL is huge. Do you think that Perth would go well with a rugby league side?
That's an interesting one. Obviously, I haven't spent a whole lot of time over here yet, and I've only spent half an NRL season. It'd be interesting to see how it goes, honestly. I think the Origin over here this year will be a big determining factor. I think it'll see if there's that support there and whatnot. And
there's a lot of South Africans there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of support over here.
Yep.
It's got people in Perth love sport, and they get behind it and love watching live sport. So there's every chance it would go really well, and it's just about timing it well and having the right foundation around to let it succeed.
Mate, the Wildcats just won their 9th NBL title. Was there a feeling that something special was going to happen this year, or that you had a real confidence of likely you're going to win?
Yeah, I think we knew we had a good group. Obviously, a lot of doubt around only having two imports and whatnot, but we had a lot of faith in our group, and we knew we had the talent to get it done. But yeah, I think we started off great. We had that little patch in the middle, and everyone starts questioning their own ability and what they need to do differently. And once we started just going back to doing what we did best, and the confidence came right back, and we were ready to go. So I mean, we knew what we could do. It was just about doing it every day.
Again, you know, I didn't follow the competition real closely, but I watch Offsiders and a lot of sports programs, and they kept talking about the fact you didn't have enough imports, but you kept winning. But they kept emphasising you didn't have enough imports. What's the go there?
Yeah, obviously imports are a luxury in the NBL. You get 3 imports, and you can scout the whole world to find the best 3 players you can. So we, the Wildcats, decided to back the local talent that we had, go with those guys that have been around the club and the chemistry that was already here. And I mean, I think at the end of the day, that was a huge factor why we won. There was such great chemistry within the group, and the sacrifices guys made for each other was huge and helped us down the stretch to win the chip.
Just show desperation if they went out, you know, trying to get a 3rd import when you're already winning. So I think, yeah. Probably back them in.
I think we need a bit more chemistry on our podcast and might become more successful. Hey, Nick, a big reason why I felt as athlete was diet. Let's be honest, I never really liked to give up foods. I just want to know how strict
you've got washboard abs.
Underneath.
He's the thinnest one here, Nick. It's
yeah, but I don't feel thin. But thanks, guys. Big confidence boost for me. But, mate, I just want to know how strict is your diet and... you know, obviously you've got to keep a pretty good rig. And what are the cheat foods that kind of ruin things for you?
No, it's always a tough one, the diet. It's one of those things that you try as hard as you can to stay on a balance, but there's always that one meal a week or something that you get away and you might duck out and get a little caramel slice with your coffee or something. So it's tough. It is. It's with any sport or with any job that you try to keep as healthy as you can. I think the big advantage with Perth is they're very fortunate in we get lunches provided, breakfast and lunch provided at after training.
Gee, I wish I'd known that.
I would have taken a basketball.
You're trying to get on the Perth Wildcats committee now.
Mate, I didn't realise how big of a factor it would be, but when you finish training and you shower up, get your shots up, and you're heading upstairs to have a nice pasta meal or something instead of ducking past something on the way home and picking something up, it's a huge factor in staying healthy, and yeah, it's definitely a huge thing.
Are you guys allowed to drink during the season?
Yeah, we try. Obviously, it's you're not going out every weekend or anything, but if you've got a game on a Friday night or something and you don't play till the following weekend, you try to enjoy it. We're like any person. Yep. Don't mind a drink with the mates. You try not to go too crazy or anything, but go around, have a glass of red or something with some of the teammates, and you are just trying to enjoy your night.
And I'd say the diet's working for you, because boys, if you haven't seen Nick, he's got, I reckon, the most impressive rig in the NBL. There you go. I'm putting it out there on this podcast.
Easy. Good thing you're 3,000 k's away, mate.
Hey, that's taking it a whole new level. Hey, Nick, you just mentioned the food provided, but I wanted to know, just to make us completely jealous, what is the best part of being a professional basketball player in Australia?
Mate, that's a tough one. Honestly, the off-season's amazing. You work so hard during the 8 months of season, but then you get 4 months off, which is unreal. Saying that, though, there's a lot of good things. The frequent fly points are great. And then, I mean, as rough as it is and stuff, you've got a lot of promos and that, but when you do get those kids come up at games and stuff and they've got your jersey on, they want you to sign it and stuff, it's that kind of thing that you hope that those kids enjoy it, and they're going to one day be in the position I'm in now and get to play for a living, so you want them to really make the most of it as well.
Now, Nick, you've been really generous with your time, and obviously we've interrupted the Perth Wildcats Championship celebration, so I can hear them, hear the trumpets outside the window. So every guest that we have on, Nick, we give them a bit of a challenge. So what I'd like to give you is I'd like you to name us your top 3 Australian basketball players of past or present. Obviously, you're number one in our view, but let's go outside yourself, your top 3 Australian basketball players.
Top 3, I mean, that's a tough one. Are we including just guys that play in the NBL or just Australians, you know.
Australians in general.
Australians in general, mate.
Well, I'd have to say probably Paddy Mills, Andrew Bogut, and we'll go Ben Simmons with it as well, just because I think by the end of his career, he'll definitely be there.
And Luke Longley in fourth.
I mean, a great relationship with Luke Longley and whatnot, but if I chuck him in there, I'll never live it down.
Mate, just quickly before we go, mate, as I said, I'm not really a basketballer, and my young fella said on the drive here, he said, basketball is one of my favourite sports. What do I do with him, you know, to encourage the game in him?
Mate, I mean, a big factor with myself growing up was just having a hoop around the house and having a basketball available. It's something little like that, but you get out the back and shooting hoops, and just the convenience of it, get kids outside, you get to enjoy it with your family and whatnot, and I mean, you fall in love with it just doing that kind of stuff, trying to dunk the hoop, dunk it when it's a little bit lower, or shoot it from over the roof into the hoop, so it's just a little top out there.
Lloyd, you might need some insurance. I'll tell his mother you said that.
Unfortunately for little Lloyd, he's got his dad's genetics, so it's probably not going to happen, but great advice. Hey, Nick, like I said, we really appreciate you coming on and having a chat to us and helping us become more of an armchair expert. And I'll tell you what, if the Perth Wildcats celebration comes through Longreach, you'll have to join us for a beer and a palmy at the RSL, mate, but thank you for coming on.
Without a doubt, mate. Love the palmy, so it's perfect.
Thanks, Nick.